It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yep, I mean, it felt like it. You know, it's always nice going against somebody else, a different team, where you're going against your own teammates since OTAs. So it's always good working these joint practices.
Dan always talks about putting you all in tough situations and things of that nature. How do you react to how he's changing up different groupings and things like that to make sure you find out what guys can and can't do?
Yeah, I think it's been really well as far as switching up different personnel, guys working with different guys. And being in different situations, just seeing how our defense can gel together under whatever circumstance we're thrown at.
So as you guys come down here and face a team like Miami with just track speed all over the place, Dan, before practice, said he likes to put you guys in almost more difficult situations on days like this than he necessarily will in games. What was it like going up? I mean, Tyreek's running around. You got Tua slinging it to him. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that Dolphins offense.
Yeah, I mean, there is for sure. I mean, it's great work. Like with all the movements they do, the motions and stuff, you know, it really keeps us disciplined with our eyes and certain techniques. So, I mean, no, they have a very explosive offense. They got track stars all over. They got a 4x1 team. So being in these situations, man, it's only gonna help us.
How do you see this growth of the team has been going from the beginning to now? Because you know, as media people and fans, we look at it, we think we know, but you're in it. You know exactly what you think. How the growth is going?
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think it's going really well. Anytime like a team travels like this, I mean, we've this is the second week in a row where. Away from home for 3-4 days. Mm-hmm. So just being able to be around each other, you know, eat dinner together, spend time in the hotels, you know, be around the city, whatever, just spending that time together, I really think it just it gels us together really well.
What's it like? I mean, you've been in the NFL for 4 seasons. What's it like to travel this much in the preseason? Is that different, weird? Do you like it?
I mean, I've traveled a little bit in previous years in the preseason, but I mean, I do like it. Like I said, it only makes the team closer at the end of the day. So when you can have that before the season starts and just kind of have a rhythm and know how things on the road are going to be, it feels pretty good.
Well, and then getting an off day in Miami might not be the worst thing.
Exactly, right?
I mean, tomorrow, though, I'm sure you guys are locked in meetings, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Do you get to, like, at least get out for a dinner or something?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, tonight we got a little bit later curfew.
Good.
So this will be like our dinner night, hang out a little bit. But, it's always great. They take care of us. We got time to be human beings, so it's nice.
You got to talk to the rookies like, yo, I know we're in South Florida, but it's still a work trip.
No, they've all got good heads on their shoulders, man. So we'll make sure they're looked after.
Speaking of the rookies, Samardzija. So, I mean, you see where B and I have been sitting. And when you guys opened in team drills was in that red zone goal line stuff with the starting defense out there against that Dolphins offense, and looked like there was like a double fire blitz, and then Samardzija is on the long kind of drag with Tyreek and just makes a play on the ball. Like, what's it like seeing a rookie like that, no fear, going against Tyreek Hill?
Man, I love it, man. I love it. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He's competitive as hell. He works his ass off, so I'm really excited about him. I'm really happy that, you know, he's with us, and I think he's going to have a hell of a year.
That's the kind of rookie that makes you not have gray hair. Well, you don't have to worry about it.
He's a great rookie, man. He brings in snacks. He brings food on the plane. So, I mean, every box he takes it.
See, some people
kind of
welcome
food?
It, JP.
What kind of snacks?
Man, the meeting rooms is full. It's full with snacks, whether it be honey buns, candy, chips. I mean, he makes sure the
veterans are taken care of.
I mean, he's ordered smoothies for meetings and stuff.
That's awesome.
During camp, he brings Chick-fil-A onto the plane. So, I mean, he does everything. He'll have a good Christmas for sure.
That's good to hear, dude. What's it like for you after 4 years in Carolina, where the last couple of years had to be pretty rough? You know what I mean? Where now you get this fresh start, and these guys clearly wanted you, identified you in free agency. How do you feel going into a season? This is your first season, you know, after a rookie deal, after where your career started.
Yeah. Man, one, I'm super grateful for this opportunity just to be able to work with the people that are in Washington and be able to see me and recognize me and know what I can bring to the table and see that. So I'm super appreciative of the opportunity that I have. And I'm super excited, man. It feels like a revival for myself and my career. And I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
That's people great. People ask you sometimes your predictions. I'm not going to ask you a prediction. What's your expectation for the team this year?
My expectation?
Mm-hmm. It's a different way of being asked. Yeah.
man, really, I expect that this team continue to grow together and push each other. And I know we continue to do that every single day and continue to take pride in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just know that, you know, the sky's the limit for us.
Definitely.
Now, we've got Jeremy Chinn joining us now live on The Fan, Commander Safety. We asked you about Mikey, who's a rookie. We're going to ask you about another rookie, Jaden Daniels, number two overall pick.
Yeah.
You know, you played with Bryce in Carolina. Like, what do you think of Jaden, both in how he carries himself as a rookie and just the performance on the field?
Yeah, I mean, he's very confident, like the way he carries himself. But he also has a level of humility, too, as well. Shout out Ocho Cinco, man.
Are you guys boys? Clearly?
Hey, clearly, you see what's going on. Come on. Jaden, man, he's super confident. As he should be, man. He's worked very hard to be where he's at. And he's also a hell of a competitor. But just, I think guys really gravitate to him just because they see how he carries himself, that humility, but also that confidence as well. So it's easy to rally behind him.
And then just when you're going through practice against him, what stands out? Because I notice the quick release and for a young guy to never be scared to throw to a spot.
He doesn't put it in Holmes' way, neither.
Before a receiver's even making a break.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's that confidence. You know, I can't tell you where it comes from, but it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, you're so nice to join us, and we don't want to keep you too long. I know you got meetings and probably want to cool. What's next? Cool tub? Cold plunge? What do you do?
I'm about to get a lift in right now.
Really?
Yeah.
And are you guys, do you have a walkthrough with them tonight, or was it just the joint?
What you should do is go lift with them, Jay. We can film that. We'll go viral, I promise you.
I don't know that Jeremy and I are quite lifting the same amounts.
I didn't say lift the same weights. Just do the same routines. Right?
Yeah, we
do have asked Chad to get me a program before.
All the weights are overrated, man.
What do you like to do? Overrated. Are you a resistance guy?
You want to know the truth? Like,
yeah.
I do Pilates a lot, man. Like,
really?
I love Pilates. I still lift weights a lot. But Pilates, man, it just has my body feeling so good. Just the way I can move, my core.
Might make him a better golfer. See,
you golf?
There you go.
I'm saying you.
Okay.
You need to get those hips a little tight.
My hips. I'm externally rotated.
Too, yeah.
And I need to work on my internal rotation.
We can get you on a reformer.
Shakira say hips don't lie.
Hey man, men lie, women lie, not hips.
don't.
Well, dude,
appreciate you, Jeremy.
Jeremy, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Hold on, let me see this real quick. Compete every day.
Yeah.
Is everybody wearing that?
They should.
If they don't wear it, they better live it, right?
Right, exactly.
Is that the message every day from DQ?
I mean, that's what we come here to do, man, compete and win everything that we do. So, I mean, I think the mantra of this camp is just to compete, and that's what we want to do in everything, compete on the field, in the weight room, in the training room, in the meeting rooms, just compete, just whether it be with somebody else or with yourself.
There you go.
Hey, man, thanks very much. I really appreciate you making time for us.
All right, bro.
Thank you for waiting through that break, too.
Nah,
that was
good,
kind
man.
Of you.
All good.
Thanks very much, man. That is Commander Safety Jeremy Chinn. What an impressive dude. I'll meet you at the Pilates studio.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. That was a lot of fun. That was a
compete every day, Jay.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the only thing I talk about, you know? Make it like, when you, if you're not trying to get better, just incrementally better daily, you're missing the boat.
Well, dude. If you go back to – so I've talked about how last year got broken and then the team kind of fell apart in turn. If you go back to Chinn's rookie year in Carolina, we're going back to 2020, so we're going back a few years. Do you remember who won Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2020?
2020?
Yeah.
Chase?
Chase Young.
Yeah.
You know who came in second?
It was him.
It was him.
Yeah.
I mean, he started out really, really strong. I think he had two pick sixes. He scored twice that season, 117 tackles. Then his role kind of changed. But defense and the culture and the staff, it flipped over, I think, three times in his 4 years at Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe even four, dude.
Wow.
I think it was Rule, then Reich.
There's a lot of stuff there. It was a problem. I mean, and I don't think people understand, when you have constant change, it's hard to grow. You have different messages. You're adjusting. You can't. If you can't do something consistently, you will never ever reach your full potential. You know, when you hear guys say, "Okay, I had this, I had that, I had that," and then you hear "Okay, let's look at Tom Brady." Tom Brady was in one place for 20 plus years.
Right.
He was able to get into a rhythm and live it. You think about other guys who you start something in 1 year, 2 year, boom, your coordinator's gone. He had the same coach. The same head coach with the same mindset for 20 years. You grow then. When you have constant change, you can't get it done.
Think about his coordinator. You want to talk about Brady. McDaniels gave up other jobs just to stay.
Yeah.
You know, and then, left the Colts high and dry. Eventually, he took that terrible Denver job and had Tebow and whatever else. But, situations can change careers so dramatically. How many times have I talked about the example I love is Santana and Reggie Wayne.
Yep.
Both coming out of Miami. One of them gets drafted to the Colts, gets to play with Peyton Manning, ends up in the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
You're telling me if that gets flipped and Santana gets drafted by Indy instead of playing for the Jets and the Skins, he ain't going to Canton?
You see what he's done with mediocre quarterbacks. You know? And the thing about, I think when you look at that, see, this is how people got to look at stuff. Santana had some quarterbacks that weren't as good, just like Terry's going through his career right now. And now he hopefully has one that's going to be that guy for him. But they still produce with those. It just lets you know how good they really are. But they don't get that love when you don't have the right quarterback throwing it to you.
Totally, man.
Instead of people saying, well, damn, he did that despite. They look at the fact like, well, who's throwing him the ball? I think when you look at who's throwing him the ball, that shows that he's a lot better than what you think he is.
100%, yeah. Man. Okay, let's get a little traffic report because I really appreciate Commander's PR getting us a player. We thought that was coming. We weren't sure exactly when, and then it all kind of hinges on when practice ends. So we do need to check in on some baseball, and we're lucky that we got Toby with us today. So we're going to do a little bit of a baseball segment coming up at 12:30. I think at 1 o'clock, because we don't necessarily get to promote this, at 1 o'clock we're going to rerun that Jeremy Chinn interview.
All right.
Because I thought he was really interesting and telling of the culture they're trying to build. 1:30, Brendan Porras going to talk to us. You got the FedEx Cup kicking off this weekend in Memphis, which is just got to be worse weather than here in Miami.
Yeah, I need to know what Brendan thinks about Scotty saying, well, I don't know why they call this thing a year-round deal. It's year-round because you get points and you get slotted based off of the points.
When you're Scotty and you're winning 5 or 6, it ain't year-round. He's not going to grind the John Deere and the...
But what I'm saying is year-round because you get positioned based off of that.
I want to hear Brendan explain what the hell Matt Kuchar did. Because I dropped a tease a couple days ago about him being a douche. I need a full explanation. Maybe I need to recant my testimony. I highly doubt I need to recant my testimony. But I wanted to check in with Jeff because his Ashburn syndrome knows no bounds. And I think that conversation with Chinn was such a good kind of reminder of what they're trying to do, and it's not flashy. Because Jaden gets all the headlines, right, B? Like, Daniels is the excitement here. But they're trying to rebuild a defense on the fly, and they're trying to establish something where the work is what's most important. Jeff, what did you make of that interview with Jeremy?
From what I heard, I could tell it's a guy who's buying into what the coaching is bringing forth and what they're presenting, and that, you know, he's there for the hard work. He's not there to play around, you know, and mm-hmm. I just think I'm trying to, you know, calm down because my Ashburn syndrome is pumping, but there's no way you can hear him talk and not get excited for the season, you know, and when you have... I said it in one of my raps. If you're not right at the top, it's not going to flow down to the bottom, you know? And it's like we finally getting that structure at the top, and now it seems like, you know, it used to always be a thing where it was like players don't want to play in Washington. They're here to get a check. No, it seems like they're buying into the system, they're trusting it, and they're trusting the process. And I think we're going to see progress. I don't even think. We're going to see progress this weekend from last weekend?
You know, I think one thing that I notice about this team, all these guys have egos. But you see how they all discuss their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And when your quarterback immediately lowers himself to make sure people understand, I don't think I'm better than you, I'm one of you. That changes the whole dynamics of a football team. You know, you think back to the Philadelphia Eagles with Randall Cunningham. People had the team had issues with Randall because Randall kind of felt like he was a different part than they were.
Sure.
Jaden hasn't done that, and I think that glues the team even closer. So the little interaction between he and Mikey, if those two twos are around here a long time, watch how this team is for a long time.
Yeah, because Jaden seems comfortable. Listen, man, you're the quarterback. You're always the center of attention. But he almost seems comfortable not having to be outspoken, boisterous. You know what I mean? Like,
being outspoken don't make you a leader.
Totally.
Being outspoken, like,
we have seen that.
Just because you're the dude that's speaking the loudest on your team sometimes doesn't mean you're the leader. It's the guy who has influence. And you watch him, and I think he has great influence. And he speaks. He's very similar to completely different position, Art Monk. All Art did was make plays, and when you expected him to talk, he made a play with his he talked with his play. He didn't try to sit up here and become somebody else. And that's the thing about him. He's comfortable in his skin to where I can be me 24/7 because my dudes know what I put, how much work I put in. I don't have to change for the next person to think I'm that guy.
Toby, what did you make of the Chin interview? Just kind of anytime you get a chance to really sit down and talk to somebody is so different. And I thought he was pretty telling about what they're trying to build in Washington.
Yeah, he's an impressive guy. I had a chance to talk to him as well. He's an impressive individual. He fits perfectly with what they're trying to do. And it's clear that these guys are buying into, like you're saying, you're going to work hard. And I think that's part of why they brought in Dan Quinn is – he's going to bring that cachet with him that people are going to want to play for him. You know, there's numerous guys on the defense and coaching staff that came here because of Dan Quinn. I think Jeremy Chinn might be one of those guys. And working with Frankie Louvu and these guys, I think the versatility and the energy that these guys bring, I think is going to be fun to watch. And I think they're all bought in. And those guys are kind of leading that charge. And it's cool to hear him talk about Sandra still in the way that he did. I think there's just a lot of good guys in that locker room that are bringing a good energy for the team this year.
What you just said, Toby, about people have bought in, that's more than half the battle. Like, a lot of coaches can draw X's and O's, can draw up schemes. But a lot of guys can motivate you. But who gets people to buy in 100%? I think the coach that can make people buy in is better than the coach that can scheme the hell out of stuff. Because we saw Coach could scheme, but the players didn't buy in. Did they have success?
Well, you've heard my theory on there's three types. There's three buckets of types of coaches in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your people person, motivator, mm-hmm. gets guys to buy in. The room is together.
Yeah.
Then you've got your scheme, strategy, superior technique, right? Like we're going to out-scheme you and get our guys open or get our guys into the backfield, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then you've got, and dude, people can think what they think, but this is real. Your third bucket is ownership or GM stooge. Like, you're here because you're not really calling the shots and you're willing to accept that role because there's only 32 of these jobs and you're going to try to get your hands on it as much as you can, but you know that you're not actually in control.
Yeah.
Now, when you get a Hall of Famer is when you get the guys that are people.
And they got to do the first two things. And then where ownership decides to, let me move aside because this guy knows what he's doing.
Joe Gibbs.
Bam.
Bill Parcells.
Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm. Sean McVay, I think, is on that track. Maybe Kyle. But that's where you break through. When you can do the people stuff and the strategy stuff, that's when you break through. We don't know enough if DQ is the strategy side of this. We know he's the people side.
Well, have you seen?
Undoubtedly the people side.
I think we know he's a strategy guy based off of his defensive prowess. I don't know if we know how he can bring his influence to the other side as well. But looking at practice, you see physicality on the offensive side too, okay? And a lot of times people say that the team takes on the personality of the coach. When I look at my guy, Dan, Dan is an aggressive, physical mindset guy. And I think the whole team is going to have that.
Totally. And I think, you know, Cliff keeps a low profile. Cliff is not out here for interviews and Instagram likes. But Cliff is locked in.
He has an ego as big as in – coaches have egos bigger than players.
Sure.
And when you have that, you got to be about something, okay? Listen, man, that dude believes in his stuff, and he knows he has somebody now who can run it, and he doesn't have to worry about constantly, yo, hey, you looking at your stuff? Because that dude probably – I think when Cliff gets up sometime and get to work, he probably look at Jade and stuff and say, damn, you still here? You been here this long already? He's getting there before coaches.
Cliff gets there early. But, yes, you're
if he
right.
get that before Jaden, then he ain't leaving. Because they, what is it, 4:45, 5 o'clock?
No, Jaden's like a 5:30, 5:45.
Now.
Cliff's a 4:45, 5. Regardless, they're getting there early as hell. They're putting the work in. Everything is building. Look at Kendall.
Kendall playing some football. He playing some golf down here, I'm sure.
Kendall, what's your handicap down to now? A 5?
I haven't even been playing on the course that way. All right, brother.
All right, good to see you, man. Appreciate it, man.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. B. Mitch and Finley, maybe Kendall will join us. We'll find out.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley live in Miami, Florida. We just watched Dolphins Commanders practice. Hopefully you enjoyed the stream. We had Jeremy Chin, Commander Safety, join us. That was pretty cool. Kendall Fuller speaking with the media now, showing love to D.C., showing love kind of the whole operation. Helping us now, because I got to say, you are very, very good at tracking all things Jaden Daniels does, is our friend David Harrison from Sports Illustrated and the Locked On Commanders podcast. Dave, what up, dude?
What's up, man? How you doing? Staying cool?
Yeah. I mean, bro, for like we're in Miami in August. Like, it's going to be hot.
We can't complain about this.
Yeah. I think this is better than the weather was at the last week.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
That was miserable, dude.
Yep. I'd rather be dry and hot than cold or wet or both.
Yeah.
Both
so of them. From our location, B and I got really good look at Dolphins offense versus Commanders defense. Yeah. And we got to watch all three levels. You know what I mean? I thought the Commanders starting D looked pretty good.
They did. They did.
Now, that's not to say Miami's not going to get some, because that's how football is. You seemed pretty locked in on Jaden and the offense.
Yep.
Let's start with the tackles. What do we see with the starters?
Yeah, so, I mean, Andrew Wiley back out there with teams, right? So good to see him out there. Didn't get every single rep. Chris Paul got out there. Trent Scott got a little bit of burn as well. So a little bit of a rotation. Big Luke on the left side, exactly, with Brandon Coleman, who, I mean, let's talk about, like, just for a second, like, I don't know how much of this is his own doing and how much of this is just coaches telling him to do it anyway, but even though he's not going full practice, he's still out there in pads, he's getting work on the side, and he's definitely taking the mental notes. I think that's cool to see the young kid doing it. But, man, I mean, the pass rush was not getting to Jaden as much as it certainly was last week in the joint practice. I did note a couple of practice sacks, in one specific session, the second session of the day. The Dolphins did get a couple of practice sacks from DBs on late developing plays, and that's going to happen from time to time, but your O-line typically was giving Jaden Daniels the time he needed to get the ball out, and that's all you can ask from him.
It's funny what a difference it makes with Luke and Wiley compared to last week in New York against the Jets with Scott and Chris Paul. Like, the offense functioned.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Starters.
Right.
Guys that have done it for a long time, and I think that's all you need. Because, like, I think what people think sometimes is that the guy needs 8 seconds to throw the football.
Mm,
no, he needs about tops four.
Right, 3 to 4, yeah.
And if he's just comfortable in that, he can do real well with it. And those guys seem to give him that.
Yeah, absolutely. And even Chris Paul, like, for the struggles that he did have you know, when he was in there with the first team for the period that he was in there, like, he looked better. He looked improved, and, you know, could be kind of, you know, knocking off the rust a little bit. He hasn't done a lot of tackle work since he left college. But, you know, he even looked a little bit more improved. And certainly you could make the argument that maybe Miami doesn't have the pass rush that the Jets do as well. But, you know, give credit to where credit is due. I'm not going to worry about, well, they could have faced this or could have faced that. Like, the bottom line is they're facing who they're facing, and they did well in that matchup.
And I think I saw in the game last week where I saw running backs chipping and things like that, which I believe would be something that's implemented throughout the season. If you have, if you need a little help, they can help them.
Right.
You know, because people think that you just put a tackle and just let him block one-on-one all day. Some of the best get help.
Yeah.
I used to chip for Jim Lachey. Other guys going to need help.
That's crazy. if you're listening to us now, we've got David Harrison sitting with us. Tell everybody what your Twitter or X is.
DHarrison82 is my X account.
DHarrison82 is a huge Logan Thomas Ben Sennett fan.
Or was he born in 82?
I'm guessing it was the latter. I'm trying to put us all on the stream. I'm trying to be very flexible with my camera for the stream folks. I know you charted Jaden. You do seemingly every day.
Yeah.
Run us through the numbers. Run us through the impression. The way B and I thought was he was getting really good work. He also got a lot of work because Mariota didn't go.
Yeah.
And Hartman's not going. It makes me wonder if he's going to get less work Saturday night than we're expecting.
Yeah.
But let's go through today.
Potentially. You know, but unofficially, I haven't scrubbed my notes up. Unofficially, 11 for 16 today. You know, five touchdowns, right? And B. Mitch, you were talking about this before we went up back on the air, but five straight touchdown passes in the red zone session. And to your credit, like, the work thing, right? So watching the practices so on, like, the last couple weeks, for the most part, the first team session, Jaden's getting one or two passes, the rest of his run fits and doing all that kind of stuff. But this one, I mean, six passes in that red zone set. The very first one was incomplete, but after that, it was Terry McLaurin for a touchdown pass against Kendall Fuller, you know, the old buddy out here in Washington. Back shoulder throw in the inside corner of the end zone to Jamison Crowder, a left corner throw to Luke McCaffrey, and then a slant to Terry McLaurin that, I don't know, my eyes may have been playing tricks on me because I was looking through my binos, but I could have swore the thing deflected off an offensive lineman's helmet. But either way, Terry McLaurin brings that in. And then John Bates, who's getting tight end one reps with Zach Ertz, you know, back home, hopefully waiting on or celebrating some good news in the back part of the end zone. And the best part about that to me is it's touchdowns all over the end zone, right? Because what was the big worry about Jaden is he's out like two or three specific zones he can hit, and after that, it's kind of no man's land.
Did you buy any of that BS?
No,
I did not.
Absolutely not.
As a radio program, we did not.
Before he was drafted,
yeah,
you look at some of the stuff in LSU. I saw passes getting caught in the middle of the field.
Right. Yep.
What? People say he don't throw in the middle of the field. What do they mean he don't throw it 5 yards or 7 yards? Because he threw it 15, 20, 60 in the middle of the field. Yep. You going to lose your mind over somebody doing a dump off in the middle of the field?
Yeah, people get wrapped up about, like, he didn't do it the most. Like, of all the quarterbacks in the draft, he didn't do it the most or more than this guy or more than that guy. But the question is, can he do it? The question isn't how much did he do it in college. I mean, Terry McLaurin didn't run the full route tree at Ohio State as much as some receivers do in their careers, but the man can.
College football, they got wider hashes. Like, everything is different, man. It you got to accept that that's just a different –
JP, let's think about it. I didn't catch a punt or a kickoff in college.
Right, dude. And
never did in my life.
And I've been
in my life, I didn't do it.
400 of each in the NFL, the only man to ever do it.
But it's also like, I just, the analytical community, whatever you want to call it, I have a real tough time trusting college football analytics.
Right.
When the variance and the delta from week to week and team to team, 1 week Bama's playing LSU and the next week they're playing Murray State. Like, you can't measure that the same. So, Jaden, pretty impressive. I saw he had the pick. Looked like it bounced off Cole Turner's hands. Yep. There were a couple of INTs. But, you know, this practice, ideally, the practice ended with Kendall grabbing one off him, right?
Yeah, a couple of interceptions, his second and his third, actually, in 11 so far this training camp preseason period, which is still impressive when you look at a rookie quarterback only being picked off three times. But then you look at the context behind the interceptions today. The first one, like you said, a seam route to Cole Turner, puts the ball on Cole where he can catch the ball to protect the ball from the defender. Defender hits him in the backside, pops the ball loose, goes up in the air. There's three Dolphins defenders there. One of them's coming down with
it. You can just see them celebrating. Yeah. They were already the sideline was already running up the field as soon as the ball popped up.
Yeah, exactly. And Cole is, he's already, I guarantee he's already told Jaden, that's on me, and I've got to bring that in. And then, the second one, Terry slips on the outbreaking route.
Right.
And Kendall's just like, if you're just going to gift it to me, I'm going to take it. You know what I mean? So, you could call them not against Jaden Daniels, in the stat box, it's not going to matter. But from when you're evaluating the quarterback, both those throws are where you want them. They're on time, and they're exactly where you need them to be for your receiver to have a chance. So good practice for Jaden.
And that's what I've seen. What he does 99% of the time, he throws the ball where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and what definitely doesn't matter is the results of a play in practice on August 15th.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, if anybody's trying to extrapolate or draw anything from that.
Oh, somebody will.
I'm sure.
If you want to extrapolate anything, let's look for the next time Cole Turner gets that ball to bring it in. Let's look for Terry, look, he slipped on the indoor field. It is what it is.
You mentioned a name there I want to circle back to. Jaden connected with Luke McCaffrey on a touchdown. A lot of excitement about Luke. Obviously, the pedigree's outrageous.
Right.
He runs clean routes on air. Like when we watch him in when we watch him in individual drills, really impressive. I do think some of the bumps, some of the press, he's got to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay for a third-round rookie that made a position change two years ago. Obviously, a lot's being made of this hunt for wide receiver two. And there's this mindset is that bad for Jahan Dotson? No, he's competing. They want everybody to compete. I also think Zaccheaus has been better than a lot of people were expecting. Diami's been better than what we've seen. What do you make of this receiver group after Terry?
So Olamide Zaccheaus has really stood out, like you mentioned. And OZ is a guy that, when I was covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers more regularly, I remember him, not having explosive games necessarily, but he was always just a thorn in the side of the Buccaneers defense. So when OZ went to Philly and then, coming in here, I'm very familiar with Olamide Zaccheaus. So the types of plays he's making they're not different than what I've seen him do pretty much his entire career. But the consistency with it and the connection with Jaden, that's what's standing out. I think that's really significant. As far as Jahan, If the battle for the second receiver spot is a problem, it's only a problem because Jahan's making it a problem. If he makes it a problem, if he takes that a certain kind of way and lets it impact his practice and his preparation, that's why it's going to be a problem. If he comes out and competes and proves that he's the second best receiver on this team, it's not a problem, right? And as far as Luke, you mentioned it, I actually talked to Luke a little while back talking about releases and everything, and he says that's kind of the most fun that he's having right now in this period is learning how to stack his release with his stem, how to manipulate the defender better, how to get more creative in doing that because, in the NFL game, obviously DBs are a lot better and they're going to counter what you're doing a lot easier and then the inexperience at the position. But fun trivia fact, Luke McCaffrey, best Washington franchise player to ever come out of Castle Rock, Colorado. It's my hometown, so I just want to give him a shout out. Christian. I always said Christian is the favorite son of Castle Rock, Colorado, but I think Luke might have to take that seat.
Wasn't Luke Del Rio the quarterback on Christian McCaffrey's high school team that won
He may have been.
I may have that wrong. I know Luke Del Rio was on a Colorado State Championship high school football team with some other stud player, but my math, I think I'm right on that, but I could be wrong.
The McCaffrey family is they're loved in Castle Rock, Colorado.
About McCaffrey's, he's talking about Del Rio.
I'm saying they were on the same high school football team.
Luke and Luke?
I believe Luke and Christian. I believe.
Yeah.
The ages sound about right.
So what you mentioned earlier, talking about if somebody allows, that ends up being in body language, right?
Was that?
You said if Jahan allows it to become a problem,
a
problem.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to compete, then that's the problem. I think ultimately people have to understand Jeremy Chinn was just sitting here with a bracelet that said compete every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what every player has to do.
Yep.
No player should be satisfied with nothing because the next day you can lose it.
Absolutely.
So if someone worries about competing, then that's a problem with anybody in the NFL before people start saying I'm talking about one person.
Listen, my last – it's a personal story, so I'll make it quick because nobody cares. But my last boss in the Army, right, he comes into the unit that I'm already in, and at that point in time I'm known – I'm not trying to toot my horn, but I'm known as one of the best kennel masters in the military working dog program in the United States Army. Already established that reputation. He comes in, and I immediately start hearing from my peers, he don't like you. Never even met me yet. He don't like you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, man, what are you going to do? What's the problem? Like, how are you? I said, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to do my job.
Like,
at the end of the day, like, my job is going to speak for whatever problem he's out with me before he even talks to me. That's his problem. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my job. And guess what? We got him a lot of compliments. We had him do a lot of speeches praising us, and I know it killed him every single day, and I loved it. I loved every minute. I don't think any coach here is hoping against Jahan in that light, right? But yeah, man, if Jahan is being challenged to prove that you're the number two receiver, go out there and accept that challenge and prove it.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk some baseball, and it's totally not.
David just basically talked to that guy that called me an ass.
Totally not because it's a sponsored segment. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Shout out to the Dolphins. Dolphins just impressing us all damn day, B.
Yeah.
First PR was really cool setting us up, and then they just gave us lunch. We got ribs, mac and cheese, Caprese salad. Only one dessert, though. I'll show it to the people on the stream. B. Mitch demands that I share it. I'm not so sure.
Nah, I don't want that. You good.
Nah,
I'm jealous.
More upstairs. Yeah, sorry, Jeff.
Jeff, I'm going to bring you some.
Guess what we just had?
What?
We just had oatmeal cream pies. From Chris Russell.
Those are banging, though.
Yeah, they're banging.
The question is,
the Little Debbie joints?
Yeah, but how long did Chris Russell have these oatmeal cream pies?
He found those things
before he offered them to the entire station.
He found those from 8 months ago and said, let me bring this into them.
Is Rooster in the studio?
No, he's in his studio getting ready for his 2 o'clock show.
Yeah, the show doesn't start till 2. All right, well. We're having a lot of fun out here. Coming up in about 10 minutes, you're going to hear Brian and I got to interview Jeremy Chinn. I want to re-rack that just because we didn't get to promote it. Kind of just happened. Jeremy Chinn is going to be your starting, I suppose he's kind of a strong safety, but it's not, the roles aren't nearly defined like people
are used to. Kind of a strong
DN. Yo, you know who Chinn reminds me of, but with more size?
Who?
Landon Collins. Like, I could see a similar role that Lando had.
Yeah.
But I did want to do this. Oh, Jeff doesn't even have it on here. Jeff, where's my baseball read? I was going to hit it for you. The T-Mobile, all of our baseball coverage is presented by T-Mobile. Check them out at T-Mobile.com/switch because they will save you money against AT&T and Verizon. Toby, hit it. Baseball update.
Yeah, I'll give you this, JP. I was out at Camden Yards on Tuesday. You'll appreciate it.
Oh,
this.
You went.
I went to the game.
Best
and
press box in the majors.
I didn't go as a – I went as a fan. I went as a fan. Shout out to my guy Craig Heist for hooking me up with some tickets. And
Heister?
I feel like – Heisty. I feel like a kid every time I walk into Camden Yards, JP. Every time I walk into Nats Park, it's exciting. It's a baseball game. You know, you're excited to watch the team play. But every time I walk into Camden Yards, I feel like I'm a 10-year-old kid again because it just feels different. And so – not to say that I don't dislike Nats Park, but there's no park better than Camden Yards. And it was awesome to watch a game out there, and it was cool to see the first matchup between James Wood and Jackson Holliday. They got the win on Tuesday, and then the O's won last night, so ends up being a split of the season series. But it's always great to go up to Baltimore and check out Camden Yards.
So they just couldn't get their bats going last night, that's all it was?
Yeah, and DJ Hurst looked solid last night, which is fun. He's a guy that's one of my favorite pitchers to watch at this point. Mackenzie Gore has been really disappointing recently. He's been one of my guys to watch. But DJ Hurst last night, he just goes out there and competes, and you don't know exactly which kind of DJ Hurst you're going to get that day, whether he's going to be able to find the strike zone or not. But last night he was able to fill it up. His big thing is he's got to get a third pitch to lefties, I think. You know, he's got a nasty changeup, which is his best pitch, and so he throws that exclusively to righties, and so he has better numbers against righties as a left-handed pitcher. I think he's got to find a third pitch against lefties. You saw an at-bat against Gunnar Henderson, and he kind of knew he was either getting a fastball or a slider, so he was kind of able to foul some stuff off and end up taking advantage of the at-bat. But I think overall DJ looked good. The bats just went cold, and I think you're going to see a lot of that. But Andres Chaparro made
it. Yeah, my guy Chaparro. Trade him for?
Dylan Floro, and that was a deal – I can't remember what's the deadline, 3 or 4 o'clock? That was a deal that the Diamondbacks general manager said they got across the finish line with like a minute to go. Like they,
wow.
You have to have like the receipt from an email like accepting the trade at a certain time at the top of the hour, and I think he got that email from Rizzo at the top of the hour. So that was something.
That's one that might have just been a text, too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even have time for the email.
Yeah, and so that was a last-minute deal. I think they wanted to deal Floro all along, and Chaparro with a heck of a debut on Tuesday night with three doubles, and he's going to provide some power. We'll see what he ultimately gives the team, but I think they're going to continue trying out these various guys at the corner positions on the infield, whether it's Chaparro. They got Tana, who's injured right now, but they got him in the Lane Thomas deal, so they're going to keep trying things because Lipscomb wasn't really cutting it either.
Kind of going forward for Nats fans, we're looking at next year, right?
Yeah.
I've heard Dylan Cruz is really starting to rake in AAA. I know he had a bomb the other night. What are the chances we see him next month at Nats Park?
I think they're pretty good. I think we haven't seen Cruz go on a dominant stretch. Maybe this is his dominant stretch. He's homered, I believe, 3 of his last 4 games or something along those lines. So he started to get things going a little bit more, but he hasn't really struggled. Early on, he was a little bit slower out of the gates than you'd like, but it was never a huge slump. And ever since, he's kind of gotten out of that early season struggle of just getting into the flow of the season. He's been basically the same player, it seems like, in AA and now into AAA. So I think you'll see him in September. I think it makes sense to get him some time just to get adjusted. And they're going to try and do it, you know, in September to keep him rookie eligible for the new pick promotion thing so that he'll be rookie eligible next season. And if he wins Rookie of the Year next year,
sure,
they get an extra pick. So I think that's cool. Something they'll try to do. But, yeah, I think I would say 70% chance that you see Dylan Cruz at some point in September.
I like that.
They're going against the Phillies the next 4 games here. What do you predict?
The Phillies winning 3 of 4? Is that bad? The Phillies haven't been playing the best baseball either, but you know, the Nats, I think their big thing was pitching. We talked about this when they were supposedly competing for a wild card spot, even though I think we all knew that was smoke and mirrors. Like, the pitching has kind of hit a wall for a lot of these guys. And, you know, yeah, like I said, Hurst has pitched well from time to time. Parker struggled and then pitched well. But I think these young guys that are going through it for the first, the second time, even Jake Irvin in there, it's just kind of hitting a wall because it's so different going 162 games every 5th day. So these guys, it's new to them, and they're kind of hitting a little bit of a wall. Whereas, I mean, tonight you're going up against Zach Wheeler, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I think they'll give it their best, but there's just not enough offensively, and then the pitching has kind of hit a little bit of a wall. So I think it's just going to be about surviving the last month and a half of the season.
When Cruz comes up, Young's what's that outfield look like? Because Young, to me, is a part of this thing going forward in center.
Yeah, to me, Jacob Young could very well win the Gold Glove in center field. It's him and Ciani in center field, the Cardinal center fielder, for who wins Gold Glove. So I think the thought process going into the year was that JY would be the 4th outfielder in the future, and then Cruz would play center. And now that, like you said, JY's been so good, and he's batting 9th in the lineup, so it's not like you need him to be a huge impact at the plate when he's playing Gold Glove center field. I think Cruz ends up playing right field, or they'll move Wood to right field and Cruz in left. I think either way, those guys are going to play the corners because JY is just too good in center.
Last one, and be quick. All of a sudden, they got a fireball minor league pitcher. Sayorka? What's the kid's name?
Sakura.
Where is he? Get me up to speed. Because this guy seems all you guys hear me. I watch Skeens every time I can. Like, I love young fireballers.
Yeah, Sakura is a kid who was 6'6". He was drafted in the 3rd round in last year's draft, the 23 draft. He was a high school kid out of Round Rock, Texas. His favorite pitcher is Nolan Ryan. So if that doesn't give you a little bit of an idea of who he is. But he threw 100, I think he said, like his sophomore year of high school because someone made him mad. And so I would take the over on 6'6", by the way. But he's someone that was drafted in the 3rd round.
Hell, he could still be growing. Is he 20 years old?
When Grant and I talked to him down in spring training, I think he's more like 6'8 than 6'6 at this point.
Wow.
But they drafted him in the 3rd round, and he was a first-round talent, but, you know, with baseball and their signability issues,
yeah,
he ended up going in the 3rd. He said he was always going to sign, so I think there was a miscommunication there with his agent, but the Nationals get lucky, and this is a kid that he had a decent outing yesterday, I believe it was, but before that, he went 11 innings in back-to-back starts, no hits, 1 walk, and, like, 20 strikeouts, like,
damn.
In A-ball, so I think it's still going to be a bit before you see him wearing the curly W here at Nats Park, but he might be, alongside a guy like Gore, one of the guys that is an ace type, that has that sort of potential. So I'm excited to see how he keeps developing.
All right, Toby, if people want more content, they can listen to the Busting Loose Nats podcast via the Odyssey app. When we come back, Commander safety Jeremy Chinn sits down with me and B.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shout out to the Dolphins. Dolphins just impressing us all damn day, B.
Yep.
First PR was really cool, setting us up. And then they just gave us lunch. We got ribs, mac and cheese, Caprese salad. Only one dessert, though. I'll show it to the people on the stream. B-Mitch demands that I share it. I'm not so sure.
Nah, I don't want that. You're good.
Nah, I'm jealous.
More upstairs. Yeah, sorry, Jeff.
Jeff, I'm going to bring you some.
Guess what we just had?
What?
We just had oatmeal cream pies from Chris Russell.
Those are banging, though.
Yeah, they're banging.
The question
is,
the Little Debbie joints?
Yeah, but how long did Chris Russell have these oatmeal cream pies?
He found those things
before
like
he offered them to the entire station.
He found those from 8 months ago and said, let me bring this into them.
Is Rooster in the studio?
No, he's in his studio getting ready for his 2 o'clock show.
Yeah, the show doesn't start till 2. All right, well, we're having a lot of fun out here. Coming up in about 10 minutes, you're going to hear Brian and I got to interview Jeremy Chinn. I want to re-rack that just because we didn't get to promote it. Kind of just happened. Jeremy Chinn is going to be your starting, I suppose he's kind of a strong safety, but it's not, the roles aren't nearly defined like people
are strong
used to.
DN.
Yo, you know who Chinn reminds me of, but with more size?
Who?
Landon Collins. Like, I could see a similar role that Lando had.
Yeah.
But I did want to do this. Oh, Jeff doesn't even have it on here. Jeff, where's my baseball read? I was going to hit it for you. The T-Mobile, all of our baseball coverage is presented by T-Mobile. Check them out at T-Mobile.com/switch because they will save you money against AT&T and Verizon. Toby, hit it. Baseball update.
Yeah, I'll give you this, JP. I was out at Camden Yards on Tuesday. You'll appreciate it.
Oh,
this.
You went.
I went to the game.
Best
and
press box in the majors.
I didn't go as a – I went as a fan. I went as a fan. Shout out to my guy Craig Heist for hooking me up with some tickets. And
Heister?
I feel like – Heisty. I feel like a kid every time I walk into Camden Yards, JP. Every time I walk into Nats Park, it's exciting. It's a baseball game. You know, you're excited to watch the team play. But every time I walk into Camden Yards, I feel like I'm a 10-year-old kid again because it just feels different. And so, not to say that I don't dislike Nats Park, but there's no park better than Camden Yards. And it was awesome to watch a game out there, and it was cool to see the first matchup between James Wood and Jackson Holliday. They got the win on Tuesday, and then the O's won last night, so ends up being a split of the season series. But it's always great to go up to Baltimore and check out Camden Yards.
So they just couldn't get their bats going last night. That's all it was.
Yeah, and DJ Hurst looked solid last night, which is fun. He's a guy that's one of my favorite pitchers to watch at this point. Mackenzie Gore has been really disappointing recently. He's been one of my guys to watch. But DJ Hurst last night, he just goes out there and competes, and you don't know exactly which kind of DJ Hurst you're going to get that day, whether he's going to be able to find the strike zone or not. But last night he was able to fill it up. His big thing is he's got to get a third pitch to lefties, I think. You know, he's got a nasty changeup, which is his best pitch. And so he throws that exclusively to righties, and so he has better numbers against righties as a left-handed pitcher. I think he's got to find a third pitch against lefties. You saw an at-bat against Gunnar Henderson, and he kind of knew he was either getting a fastball or a slider, so he was kind of able to foul some stuff off and end up taking advantage of the at-bat. But I think overall DJ looked good. The bats just went cold, and I think you're going to see a lot of that. But Andres Chaparro made
I got Chaparro.
He made
Who'd they
nice
trade him for?
Dylan Floro. And that was a deal – I can't remember, what's the deadline, 3 or 4 o'clock? That was a deal that the Diamondbacks general manager said they got across the finish line with like a minute to go. Like they,
wow.
You have to have like the receipt from an email like accepting the trade at a certain time at the top of the hour, and I think he got that email from Rizzo at the top of the hour. So that was something.
That's one that might have just been a text, too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even have time for the email.
Yeah, and so that was a last-minute deal. I think they wanted to deal Floro all along, and Chaparro with a heck of a debut on Tuesday night with three doubles, and he's going to provide some power. We'll see what he ultimately gives the team, but I think they're going to continue trying out these various guys at the corner positions on the infield, whether it's Chaparro. They got Tana, who's injured right now, but they got him in the Lane Thomas deal, so they're going to keep trying things because Lipscomb wasn't really cutting it either.
Kind of going forward for Nats fans, we're looking at next year, right?
Yeah.
I've heard Dylan Cruz is really starting to rake in AAA. I know he had a bomb the other night. What are the chances we see him next month at Nats Park?
I think they're pretty good. I think we haven't seen Cruz go on a dominant stretch. Maybe this is his dominant stretch. He's homered, I believe, three of his last four games or something along those lines. So he started to get things going a little bit more, but he hasn't really struggled. Early on, he was a little bit slower out of the gates than you'd like, but it was never a huge slump. And ever since he's kind of gotten out of that early season struggle of just getting into the flow of the season, he's been basically the same player, it seems like, in Double A and now into Triple A. So I think you'll see him in September. I think it makes sense to get him some time just to get adjusted, and they're going to try and do it, you know, in September to keep him rookie eligible for the new pick promotion thing, so that he'll be rookie eligible next season, and if he wins rookie of the year next year,
sure,
they get an extra pick. So I think that's cool. Something they'll try to do, but yeah, I think I would say 70% chance that you see Dylan Cruz at some point in September.
I like that.
They're going against the Phillies the next four games here. What do you predict?
The Phillies winning three of four? Is that bad? The Phillies haven't been playing the best baseball either, but you know, the Nats, I think their big thing was pitching. We talked about this when they were supposedly competing for a wild card spot, even though I think we all knew that was smoke and mirrors. Like, the pitching has kind of hit a wall for a lot of these guys. And, you know, Like I said, Hurst has pitched well from time to time. Parker struggled and then pitched well. But I think these young guys that are going through it for the first, the second time, even Jake Irvin in there, it's just kind of hitting a wall because it's so different going 162 games every fifth day. So these guys, it's new to them, and they're kind of hitting a little bit of a wall. Whereas, I mean, tonight you're going up against Zach Wheeler, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I think they'll give it their best, but there's just not enough offensively, and then the pitching has kind of hit a little bit of a wall. So it's just, I think it's just going to be about surviving the last month and a half of the season.
When Cruz comes up, Young's, what's that outfield look like? Because Young, to me, is a part of this thing going forward in center.
Yeah, to me, Jacob Young could very well win the Gold Glove in center field. It's him and Ciani in center field, the Cardinals center fielder, for who wins Gold Glove. So I think the thought process going into the year was that JY would be the fourth outfielder in the future, and then Cruz would play center. And now that, like you said, JY's been so good, and he's batting ninth in the lineup, so it's not like you need him to be a huge impact at the plate when he's playing Gold Glove center field. I think Cruz ends up playing right field, or they'll move Wood to right field and Cruz in left. I think either way, those guys are going to play the corners because JY is just too good in center.
Last one, and be quick. All of a sudden, they got a fireball minor league pitcher. Sayorka? What's the kid's name?
Sakura.
Where is he? Get me up to speed. Because this guy seems all you guys hear me. I watch Skeens every time I can. Like, I love young fireballers.
Yeah, Sakura is a kid who was 6'6". He was drafted in the third round in last year's draft, the 23 draft. He was a high school kid out of Round Rock, Texas. His favorite pitcher is Nolan Ryan, so if that doesn't give you a little
Clemens.
Bit
okay.
a little yep. bit of an idea of who he is. But he threw 100, I think he said, like his sophomore year of high school because someone made him mad. And so I would take the over on 6'6", by the way, but he's someone that was drafted in the third round.
Hell, he could still be growing. Is he 20 years old?
When Grant and I talked to him down in spring training, I think he's more like 6'8 than 6'6 at this point.
Wow.
But they drafted him in the third round, and he was a first-round talent, but, you know, with baseball and their signability issues,
yeah,
he ended up going in the third. He said he was always going to sign, so I think there was a miscommunication there with his agent, but the Nationals get lucky, and this is a kid that he had a decent outing yesterday, I believe it was, but before that, he went 11 innings in back-to-back starts, no hits, one walk, and, like, 20 strikeouts. Like,
damn.
In A-ball. So I think it's still going to be a bit before you see him wearing the curly W here at Nats Park, but he might be, alongside a guy like Gore, one of the guys that is an ace type, that has that sort of potential. So I'm excited to see how he keeps developing.
Yeah. All right, Toby, if people want more content, they can listen to the Busting Loose Nats podcast via the Odyssey app. When we come back, Commander safety Jeremy Chinn sits down with me and B.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.